540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Stacey Lynn in Washington. The weather is once again our top story. We begin with torrential rain and flooding in western Kentucky. KFVS-TV's Nikki Clark is in Mayfield.
We knew it was going to be a lot of rain, but no one expected to get what we got.
Despite all the damage, Graves County Sheriff John Hayden says there is a silver lining.
We're very thankful that no one has been reported to us, that no one's been injured, there's been no fatalities.
The sheriff says they've faced these challenges before and believes in the community's resiliency.
In nearly a dozen states, it is sweltering with temps still in the triple digits. Here's CBS's Jonathan Vigliotti.
At the Tumbleweed Day Camp in Los Angeles, they're taking extra precautions to keep kids safe, making sure the equipment and the campers stay cool.
We make it a party, so it's sunscreen party. Everyone's putting on sunscreen together. We're doing water breaks. We're doing, you know, hydration challenges. And so we're doing a lot of preemptive work on that.
Hoping you won the big Powerball drawing so you don't have to go to work tomorrow. Get your tickets out. The lucky numbers are 7, 13, 10, 24, 11, and the Powerball is 24. You hit them all and you win over $1 billion. We're learning more about the potential charges against former President Trump. They could include conspiracy to commit an offense or to defraud the U.S. CBS's Graham Cates.
We just found out that former Arizona Governor Doug Ducey has been contacted by the special counsel's office. This is kind of an investigation that is all over the country, all over the map. And of course, then focused also on meetings at the White House during this two-month time period after the 2020 presidential election, which Trump lost.
While a lot of actors and writers are on the picket lines, Hollywood's not totally shut down.
SAG granted waivers to 39 titles that are all independent projects, despite some big names attached, from Anne Hathaway and Paul Rudd to Matthew McConaughey and Mark Wahlberg. The temporary agreements allow these productions to start or continue filming during the strike. It also gives cast an 11% pay bump on minimum salaries until the union negotiates new terms with studios. Monica Ricks, CBS News.
Well, the writers and actors strike is good for streamers. With a lot of Hollywood shut down because of the strikes, many are turning to the streamer for more of their entertainment needs. Netflix added about 6 million new subscribers in the past financial quarter. The big spike might also have something to do with its crackdown on password sharing. If you remember back in May, the company said only people you live with can use the same account. This is CBS News.
Find great hires fast with Indeed. Their end-to-end hiring solution makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
It's time to turn Fridays into Fry-yays with WAUK.halfoffdeal.com. You'll find deals for spots around town like restaurants, spas, and events. This Friday at 8 a.m., you'll save 50% on tickets to the Milwaukee Air and Water Show. July 22nd and 23rd on the lakefront at Bradford Beach. That's right, save 50% on tickets for this year's Milwaukee Air and Water Show, July 22nd and 23rd. The Milwaukee Air and Water Show continues to be Wisconsin's premier free family event of the summer and one of the top air shows in the Midwest. Gates open up at 9 a.m. both days. Have a splash with the water show from 10 to 11:30. Be amazed with the air show at 12 p.m. and witness the Blue Angels around 3 p.m. For more details about the event, log on mkeairwatershow.com. Save 50%. See the show, the Milwaukee Air and Water Show, July 22nd and 23rd on the lakefront at Bradford Beach. Save this Friday at 8 a.m. at WAUK.halfoffdeal.com. That's WAUK.halfoffdeal.com.
This summer, 540 a.m. WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 a.m., Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Grave Digger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dominic Crute. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 a.m. WAUK. Hey.
This time of year, the world's busiest airport is Oshkosh. During the Experimental Aircraft Association, EAA Air Venture. 10,000 airplanes fly in, typically 600,000 people visit, spending $170 million. Big numbers worth celebrating considering EAA started in a Milwaukee basement with a little more than 100 people 70 years ago. EAA runs through July 30th. Keep an eye to the sky if you're in the Oshkosh area. Daily air shows start at 2:30. I'm Terry Barr.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed group.
We spend $500 on our infants and toddlers on average. If you go to the other countries, you're talking about $11,000 on average in Europe and the other developed countries. It makes a difference. They end up spending less on their K-12 system. They end up spending less on their colleges. They end up spending less on jail.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, Tuesday, July 18th. Dom, that's pertinent because it's election day here in the great state of Wisconsin.
Hey, happy Tuesday, Taco Tuesday to you, Crudy. Great to see you. Man, it's an important day. Make sure you go vote in Wisconsin. What district is that, Crudy?
Your district, Tom.
No, it's not mine, man.
Assembly District 24, you're not the former Dan Canodal district.
No, no. He became my state senator because I'm in one of the other two state senate districts.
Well, that'd be assembly districts. Three assembly districts make one Senate district. Dan Canodal's your boy.
Yes.
But just for point of clarity, if you live in Milwaukee's northern suburbs, you might have an election today. Let's clarify slightly. If you live in the northern Milwaukee suburbs, including Germantown, Grafton, Menominee Falls, and Mequon, you may have a special election on Tuesday. Voters in part of Ozaukee, Washington, and Waukesha counties will head to the polls to elect Republican Paul Melotek or Democrat Bob Tatterson to the state assembly. Go, Bob. I mean, really, this is going to be, what, maybe a 10% turnout election?
Right. It won't take much.
The seat became vacant when Republican Dom's boy Dan Canodal won a special election for a seat in the state Senate this spring. That means today, Dom, is a special election in the 24th Assembly District. You can look it up at maps.legis.wisconsin.gov. Your district might have changed after new maps were implemented in 2022, which cut out Glendale and Brown Deer from the 24th Assembly District. The district now leans, wait for it, Dom, just a little more Republican.
Of course it does.
So go vote. Go vote! Crudy, none of those enclaves are in Milwaukee County. I didn't say they were. I'm just reading from the article at the Journal Sentinel. People are already chastising me.
The northern Milwaukee suburbs, I believe, is what it said.
Belichick, by the way, Dom, that's the Republican candidate, has co-owned and operated several businesses, including the Fire Ridge Golf Club in Grafton. He has served on the Ozaukee County Board for 11 years and the Grafton Town Board for 6 years. Belichick told the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel in June that he had nothing to do with the blackface incident in 2001 at a costume party organized by the Water Street Tavern and Restaurant Association, which he was president of at the time. I told you at that time, Dom, I didn't really feel like that was a fair criticism. You know, not of this one particular individual, no worse than, you know, the Journal Sentinel should have had for what?
Being a part of it, right?
Being the bars a part of having the,
yeah, right, right.
The company that owns the Journal Sentinel and this prior machination 22 years ago, you know, also owned WKTI, which was the radio station that held the costume party where somebody in blackface won. Dominic Tatterson is a retired
engineer. Our guy, Tatterson. We want Tatterson. Go vote. Don't just go for vote. Go vote for Bob.
Bob Tatterson is a retired engineer and now invests in and advises startup companies. He is also active in community volunteering and was formerly a volunteer firefighter. Dom, why aren't you a volunteer anything? He describes himself as a moderate Democrat. His priorities include public education, including building a skilled workforce through higher education. He supports abortion access and wants to see common sense gun safety laws like red flag laws, citing a mass shooting a mile away from his house. Both candidates say they support fully funding law enforcement and working to address EMS staffing challenges in their district. That would be the 24th Assembly District. There is a special election today, and that's not Milwaukee County, but it's the northern Milwaukee suburb. So, you know, we split the infinitive. There you go.
Thank you for the clarity. Once again, go vote for Bob, the 24th Assembly District here in the great state of Wisconsin.
Dominic, some tremendously exciting news, and, you know, as if election day, special election day for a vacant assembly seat's not enough.
No, it's not enough. We need more.
I've got more. There's way more. You get the Ginsu knives. You get all kinds of news on this show, Dom, including this headline at the Washington Post. Michigan indicts alleged plotter in fake elector scheme. Plotters, plural. Here's what it means. Well, we got Jennifer Rubin's take on that. And then we've also got a journalist we know quite well. His name, Patrick Marley, formerly of the Journal Sentinel. Trump electors who falsely claim he won Michigan. Well, they face felonious charges, Tom. Let's start with Marley's coverage. Michigan Attorney General Dana Nessel. She's been on the show a couple times, Dom. You've got family, friends, or somebody that knows Dana Nessel.
Yes. And I did request an interview, but, you know, it was kind of late because this news dropped like 2 hours ago.
AG Nessel, 2 hours, like 25 minutes ago, Dom. Really? This is very, very recent news. Michigan Attorney General Dana Nessel, Democrat, announced felony charges Tuesday against 16 Michigan Republicans who falsely claimed to be the state's 2020 presidential electors. The charges, Dom, forgery and other crimes, bringing the first charges in the country against Trump electors as investigations over attempts to overturn those results intensify across the country. Trash call, what are you doing? The charges were brought against former state Republican Party co-chairwoman Michonne Manick and 15 others for submitting official-looking...
Official-looking, yeah, you know, it's close. I mean, it looks like a $100 bill.
Official-looking paperwork to the federal government asserting they were casting the state's electoral votes for Donald Trump. Joe Biden won Michigan, and courts swiftly threw out lawsuits claiming Trump was the true winner of the state. And Dom, the charges stem from a state investigation that is separate from a federal probe by special counsel Jack Smith into attempts to reverse the 2020 results. Donald Trump, the former on Tuesday, said he had received a Justice Department letter telling him he's the target of Smith's investigation. We're going to cover that extensively today as well, Dom, and take your comments at 844-967-2789. Is there more, Dom?
Oh, there's a little more here. Patrick Marley continues. Of course, after Trump lost, Republicans in seven states that Biden won, Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, Nevada, New Mexico, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin, filed paperwork claiming to be their state's true electors. And Crudy, today on this special election, why do we have a special election in Wisconsin's 24th Assembly District today? Because the last guy that was there, who is now a state senator, my state senator, Dan Knodel, he was one of those very fraudulent electors.
No, not true. Not true. Dan Knodel wrote a letter to the vice president on January 5th.
Oh, yes. On my bad.
Of 2021, asking the vice president not to make a timely certification of the Electoral College. But he was not a false Trump elector. You're thinking of, you know, Scott Graben, the former Dane County Republican chair, and Andrew Hitt, the former Wisconsin Republican chair, Kelly Rowe. There's so many names, Dom. So many malfeasant Republicans
state. It's hard to keep track of which angle they took to try to subvert the election. So thank you for the clarity. And who is the Wisconsin Election Commission who's also a fraudulent, let's not forget him, fraudulent elector?
Bob Spindell.
Bob Spindell. How could we possibly forget? If those cats lived in Michigan right now, they would be facing indictment from Dana Nessel. Continuing on from Patrick Marley at the Washington Post, the GOP electors in Michigan are the first to face criminal charges in addition to Smith's
investigation. Not the last.
Prosecutors in Arizona and Georgia are looking into the GOP electors in their states, and civil lawsuits have been filed against electors in Michigan and Wisconsin. Civil. In Michigan, each Trump elector was charged with one count of conspiracy to commit forgery, two counts of forgery, one count of conspiracy to commit uttering and publishing, one count of uttering and publishing, one count of conspiracy to commit election law forgery, and two counts of election law forgery. Nessel investigated the Republican electors after the 2020 election last year, referred their activities to federal prosecutors. After being sworn in for a second term in January, she announced she was reopening her own probe of the GOP electors because she didn't know what federal prosecutors planned to do with the case after having it for a year. At the time, she said the House committee that investigated the January 6, 2021 attack at the Capitol turned up strong evidence to support charging the Trump electors from Michigan. Attorneys for the Trump electors in Michigan did not immediately provide comment on Tuesday, Curry.
Why not?
I don't know. You think they'd be really eager to get up there and prove their innocence. I can't wait to go to court.
Cat got your tongue? Cat got your tongue. Dominic, there is more information, and we'll take a break here in just a minute. But when we come back, we're going to talk about the feds. And in this case, we're talking about what the FBI, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, interviewing another Wisconsin election official. Well, this one's on the outs with the GOP because, bless her heart, she stood up to the Trump onslaught. And I'm talking about Megan Wolf. She's the head of the Wisconsin Elections Commission. And they're trying to, what, force a vote on her despite the fact they don't have a quorum. And if they could take a vote on her, they would throw her ass out. That's the Republican plan, Dom. You know, because she's on the wrong side of their perverted fantastical history. You know, the real history in 2020, as everyone knows, Dom, well, it was stolen from Donald Trump. And they're still trying to prove it. And the feds are interviewing Megan Wolf. Folks, we're the Devil's Advocates. I'm on the road again today, Dom. Down here in Racine, Kenosha.
You know, Racine, baby.
Racine. I am in the WRJN back studios back here. If you watch me on the visual product, you know, the YouTubes or wherever, you'd see I'm actually wearing a suit today. I'm here for business, man.
You got a tie on, man. I don't recognize you, Curdy. Where is the badger hat?
It's in the car. I've got it. Okay. But I have dressy clothes on. I'm here doing business, man. We are here representing this radio station is the most powerful sports station perhaps in the history of the world. We got the Packers. We got the Badgers. We got the Bucks. We got the Brewers in 2024, and You got high school game of the week rolling out, and we're seeing on Fridays. Man, you're going to...
It's the Max Inc. Radio Concert Series at the Waukesha County Fair, Thursday, July 20th on the Whammy and Guitars for Vet stage, featuring Iron Plow, Karma Shotgun, and Talon. Music starts at 7:30, hosted by WAUK's Don Brown. The Waukesha County Fair on the Whammy and Guitars for Vet stage. Find more info at guitars4vets.org. Presented by WAUK 540 AM, The Shaw 101 FM, and Max Inc. Radio. We are local music.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Grave Digger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dominic Crute. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Chance for scattered thunderstorms overnight. Otherwise, mainly cloudy skies expected. Lows dip down to about 64. Winds out of the southwest, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Chance for scattered thunderstorms again tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 82. A mix of clouds and sun. Lows level off around 57 tomorrow night. Mainly clear skies. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 66 degrees.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup. Mondays 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Grave Digger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram on 540 AM WAUK.
78 degrees.
This summer, Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX has a new starting lineup. At 10, As Goes Wisconsin. Then at noon, Civic Media Network News.
On Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to the radio show your mother warned you about. The Devil's
And we are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Phone lines are open. Join us, 844-967-2789.
Dominic, the breaking news of the moment. Felonious charges in the state of Michigan against the false Trump electors. And now that we've, you know, set some of the story, let's get some of the opinion. Jennifer Rubin, also the Washington Post. Michigan indicts alleged plotters and fake elector scheme. Here's what it means.
It means they're screwed.
Well, I'm having a pretty good Tuesday. That's what
I
that
mean.
Means.
You know, it's been a long time coming. Come on, Crew. I mean, we bitch about this every single day. I mean, this Wisconsin elector, but fraud, it's fraud, it's fraud. I mean, we were literally on this yesterday and today. I mean, seemingly out of nowhere, AG Nestle from Michigan is bringing down the hammer. Thank you, sister.
As Jennifer Rubin describes it, Michigan Attorney General Dana Nessel, in a stunning development on Tuesday, filed 8 criminal charges against the 16 Republicans in her state who submitted a phony slate of electors in hopes of flipping the state from Joe Biden to Donald Trump, you know, in the old 2020 presidential, Dom. The charges included forgery, conspiracy to commit forgery, and conspiracy to commit election forgery, each carrying a potential penalty of 5 to 14 years in prison. Little aside, Dom, if I recall correctly, it wasn't just the Wisconsin fake electors that had not been delivered to the vice president. I thought it was also the Michigan fake electors.
I believe
if there's any Wisconsin electeds that are perhaps affected by the state charges, Dom, in the state of Michigan. Would it still be a crime in the state of Michigan for a Wisconsin elected to deliver the Michigan false elector slips to the vice president?
I mean, you would think if you're part of the conspiracy, if you're carrying these, what, the forged documents, right? The election forgery documents, if you're part of that, if you touch that and these folks are guilty of that, I think that makes you kind of part of it.
Dominic, as we've talked about, Nessel's charges are the first criminal charges involving the phony elector scheme. And what could happen, Dom? What could happen? The charges could put these people in jail for 5 to 14 years. I hope it's closer to 14, Tom.
Go ahead. Nestle charges are the first criminal cases involving the phony elector scheme that preceded the January 6, 2021 riot aimed at stopping the peaceful transfer of power to the 2020 election winner. What, you folks got a problem with that? The Michigan Attorney General did not reach beyond the state to indict Trump or his aide for engineering the scheme. But in Georgia, Fulton County District, Fonnie Willis is investigating Trump's attempt to compel state officials to find enough votes. That's the District Attorney Willis. After a magistrate in Ingham County, Michigan, signed off on the charges on Tuesday, Nestle released a video explaining her action. The 16 defendants and or their attorneys were then notified, and defendants were given a week to turn themselves in or face arrest.
Let's go round them up. You know, like, you remember when Cops was a TV show? Yeah. And when the cops were coming for you when you were hearing the bad boy music? You know, what's the chance that most of the fake Trump electors from Michigan are going to go running out of their house with no T-shirts on? You know what I mean? Like, bare-chested. That's always the way. When there was a foot chase, that guy wasn't wearing a T-shirt. Or any shirt.
Barely wearing pants. Curdy, Rubin continues to write in her opinion piece at the Post, Nestle's move ahead of the possible January 6th related indictments by the Justice Department Special Counsel Jack Smith was a bold one, but also reflected considerable restraint. She left Smith plenty of latitude to proceed against Trump, his lawyers, and top aides. In that sense, Nestle struck a balance between prosecuting possible violations of state law and avoiding interfering with a federal investigation. She had previously attempted to refer the Michigan electors case to the Justice Department, but in the absence of federal action, she proceeded on her own. Nestle did not coordinate with either Jack Smith or other state attorneys general before her filing case. Before filing her case, her closely guarded move might have taken Smith by surprise. It took me by surprise, Crudy. The allegations detailed in Nestle's affidavit are compelling. The Republican fake electors met clandestinely at GOP headquarters, were not allowed to take their phones, and took an oath of secrecy. An oath of secrecy? The Republicans falsely attested that they had met in the legislature and were duly organized, and that they had proceeded in the manner provided by law. That phony slate was then submitted to the U.S. Senate and to the National Archives. All of this followed a November 20, 2020 meeting at the White House where Trump invited Michigan Republican legislators to discuss overturning the election. Remember that? It was kind of weird when that was all going down. Michigan State Senate Majority Leader Mike Shirky and Michigan House Leader Lee Chatfield issued a statement after the meeting, quote, "We have not yet been made aware of any information that would change the outcome of the election in Michigan, and as legislative leaders, we will follow the law and follow the normal process regarding Michigan's electors. The phony electors had other ideas."
Apparently they did. Criminally conspiratorial other ideas.
So, yes, there's more to this piece, Jennifer Rubin. We put it up on the Devil's Advocates Facebook page. Go check it out there. But some state action. This is encouraging. It's timely. And there's a lot more to come.
Dominic, there is a little bit more that we can report in Michigan, according to the testimony of Laura Cox, the former leader of Michigan's Republican Party, an individual who claimed he was working with the Trump campaign, was coordinating with so-called electors. These fraudulent electors had a plan which Cox described as insane and inappropriate to meet the day before the Electoral College was scheduled to meet and hide in Michigan's Capitol building overnight so they could later bolster their claim that their electoral ballot certificates were legitimate because they had fulfilled the requirement under Michigan law that the electoral votes be cast in that building. But they didn't let them in the building. Dom, do you recall how that all played out?
Yeah, I do.
They showed up too late for the party. Please let us in. Nope.
The police came to the door and said, we're the electors. And the cops were like, no, they're inside.
Folks, we're the Devil's Advocates. Come back with us. Going to have a little fun. I'm broadcasting from WRJN, Racine, Kenosha, 1400 AM, 99.9 FM, 98.1 FM, And you can always join us. The phone lines, they're open.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup starting at 6 AM. Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show on 540 AM WAUK.
CBS News Brief. After 38 consecutive drawings with no winner, someone in California just won the $1 billion Powerball jackpot, the third largest prize ever. How close were you? The numbers were 7, 13, 10, 24, 11, and the Powerball was 24. Whoever the extremely lucky person is can take a lump sum payment, which is an estimated $516.8 million before taxes. Major flooding in western Kentucky. The town of Mayfield was hit hard.
I'm trying to hold my head up, but it's stressful.
When they've asked me if I'm okay, I'm just like, I'm stressed a little bit, but I'm numb. I just don't know how to feel right now.
This brutal heat's dangerous. Our Jonathan Vigliotti's in Phoenix, where heat-related emergency calls jumped 35% in just 24 hours.
The majority of our calls that we are going on are going to be medical.
The priority for the responding crew is bringing a patient's body temperature down fast using ice-cold intravenous fluids.
CBS News Brief. I'm Stacy Lynn.
It's time to turn Fridays into Fry-yays with WAUK.halfoffdeal.com. You'll find deals for spots around town like restaurants, spas, and events. This Friday at 8 a.m., you'll save 50% on tickets to the Milwaukee Air and Water Show, July 22nd and 23rd on the lakefront at Bradford Beach. That's right, save 50% on tickets for this year's Milwaukee Air and Water Show, July 22nd and 23rd. The Milwaukee Air and Water Show continues to be Wisconsin's premier free family event of the summer and one of the top air shows in the Midwest. Gates open up at 9 a.m. both days. Have a splash with the water show from 10 to 11:30. Be amazed with the air show at 12 p.m. and witness the Blue Angels around 3 p.m. For more details about the event, log on mkeairwatershow.com. Save 50%. See the show, the Milwaukee Air and Water Show, July 22nd and 23rd on the lakefront at Bradford Beach. Save this Friday at 8 a.m. at wauk.halfoffdeal.com. That's wauk.halfoffdeal.com.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 a.m., Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Grave Digger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crute. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
The Supreme Court threw out affirmative action.
In a lengthy dissent, Justice Sonia Sotomayor spoke at length from the bench, in so holding the court cements a superficial rule of colorblindness in endemically segregated society where race continues to matter.
Not anymore, Robert says.
We're good.
Doesn't.
We're good. You can talk about how racism has impacted you in your life and other spots of the admissions.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app, The Maggie Dawn Show.
I would be remiss if I didn't say that some of what we do in government always is political. It has policy impacts. It has political impacts. But if your raison d'etre and your organizing principle is that my guy wins and your guy loses, the entire country suffers. That is not our call to serve. That is not what we raise our hand and say an oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show,
Monday through Friday at 6 p.m.
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The Devil's Advocates, because freedom.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Playing some Skid Row.
Why?
Skid Row, the headliner at the Waukesha County Fair this Saturday night. You're going to want to catch them. VIP seats are sold out.
Oh, youth gone wild, man. It's been a while since I was Youth Gone Wild, man.
It is my understanding. It's not just Skid Row. Oh, it gets better. Skid Row, Warrant, and Winger in the Gang's All Here tour. And they're headlining the Waukesha County Fair this Saturday night. Now, we've done the fair. We've broadcast from the fair. It's been a few years. Pre-pandemic, we broadcast with our Waukesha friends at the Waukesha Fair. I think we split a booth with the Waukesha Dells.
Oh, wasn't it raining the one time? It was like some storm blowing through. We were inside the building.
Oh, that was a... Yes, we had that experience as well.
Okay. See, I kind of remember some of these things.
Yes. I had forgotten about the... In the building when the storms blew through. Oof,
right.
We've also done it outdoors. Dom, Ron Johnson, let's turn our attention to the headliner.
Do we have to? Do we have to?
Yes. Yes, we do. Because he's made a lot of news, Dom. He's making news. He's making headlines.
For all the wrong reasons.
Isn't he making you proud? Don't you feel proud, Dom?
I feel proud. You know, that's just my, pride. But Ron Johnson does not make me proud, no.
Real quick, before we turn to Ron, let's talk about a guy who probably will never be a U.S. Senator. Tom Tiffany from the great state of Wisconsin. Congressman.
Yes.
He is the most heavily rumored possible entrant to the contest to get their ass kicked by Tammy Baldwin. You know, next year she's on the ballot. No Republicans so far stepping up.
Not yet.
And my understanding.
Curdy, listen, there's plenty of time for a Republican to get in this race and take on Tammy Baldwin. Don't worry about it. Plenty of time.
Tom Tiffany, and wait for it, Tom, in the second quarter of 2023, the prospective Republican senatorial candidate raised $114,000. Let's not forget, Bob Tatterson, candidate for special election in Assembly District 24, who had no ads that I noticed. He raised over $100,000 in the quarter.
And he doesn't work. He's not in Congress. No.
He's not even in the Wisconsin State Assembly.
He's not in anything. And he raised almost as much as Tom. Yeah.
Tom will also not be a U.S. Senator, Tom. Tom, you're not going to make it.
Well, let's compare. And he hasn't announced, so maybe if he did announce, he'd have some bigger fundraising totals. But the incumbent... Senator Tammy Baldwin, she took in more than, $3 million last quarter.
$3 million to $114,000. You know, that's Bob Tatterson sort of money. So Tom Tiffany will not be joining Rojo in the U.S. Senate. Want to get that out.
All right.
Just establish the ground rules, Tom. With fundraising totals like that, you couldn't take care of the Devil's Advocate's bar tab.
Not Tom.
But let's talk about Rojo. Oh, Rojo. What'd he do, Dom? Why don't you lead for once?
There's so many to get to.
What about this video? I observed a YouTube video, and let me make sure I properly reference what this is called. Well, YouTube, but the video itself. Investigating corruption in Washington, D.C. And this is a video by a guy named Tommy G. Tommy G, apparently an influencer. He calls himself the craziest documentarian on YouTube. And he's, like the kids today, talks fast and he walks fast. Claims he's sort of a nonpartisan. You know, he thinks they're all corrupt. Does that make you nonpartisan or just... That's how we set up this interview with U.S. Senator Ron Johnson.
And you listened to some of it. I could not stomach it.
It's about 20 minutes overall, and a lot of it features Ron.
I put on some Tom Petty.
Well, we've had Ron on for long form, but yeah, I listened. And
did you take anything away from this Tommy G interview with Senator Ron Johnson?
Well, first and foremost, we have been in U.S. Senator Ron Johnson's office, and he's got the 10th Amendment stenciled on his wall, and we took photos with it, and he also walked this guy in there like he takes anybody
he
in there.
Does, man.
And then this Tommy G character was interviewing like his congressional aides and asking them very important questions like, was Epstein murdered? I mean, this is the tone of the questions the young YouTube Tommy G influencer were asking our senator. And Ron didn't seem taken aback by any of it. Ron was down for the conspiracy.
Ron's already kind of hip to the conspiracy stuff. So, yeah, he's not shaken by these kinds of questions.
Bill Glauber and Lawrence Andrea, little coverage of this video. I also observed the video, so I feel like, you know, I got a firsthand accounting to give to our audience, Tom. U.S. Senator Ron Johnson said it's certainly possible government agencies were involved in the assassination of former President John F. Kennedy. He actually said, like, yeah, it's possible. And called the death of a sex offender and financier Jeffrey Epstein fishy during a wide-ranging interview released Tuesday by a popular YouTuber. Had like 750,000 followers, this Tommy G. I think it's certainly possible, yeah, the Wisconsin Republican responded when asked by YouTuber Tommy G if it's possible that U.S. agencies were involved in the JFK assassination. Now, I would point out, when they said agencies, he literally had the logo of the CIA appearing on the screen. Now, I'm not saying that Rojo would have had the benefit of the post edit, but that's who Tommy G was talking about. The American public deserves the truth, and we haven't gotten it, said Rojo. There's more, Dom.
Well, okay, go ahead.
There's so many unanswered questions, so many witnesses that just died, so many leads that weren't followed up on, so much evidence that obviously should have been collected that people have been prevented from collecting.
Ooh.
We're talking about 1963. I was not alive at the time of JFK's assassination.
All right, so is it a fair question to ask anyone?
It's a little bit of a strange question. I mean, if you said, hey, let's go to the bar and get hammer drunk and talk about life.
Talk conspiracies? Sure.
Hey, man, you think the U.S. government was involved? Yeah, I mean, sure. I've had some conversations, Tom.
Right? And what was your what is your response, Crudy?
Well, I've seen the Oliver Stone
movie. I saw JFK, man, back and to the left. You know what I'm saying? I'm a patsy. So, we know those things. We've seen the Hollywood version of it.
Well, that was just a start point for the conversations, Tom. Johnson's comments on JFK's death were just one of several conspiracy theories the Las Vegas Republican entertained during the interview with the Tommy G. Again, he's the YouTuber who bills himself as, and here's the quote, Tom, the craziest documentaries on the video streaming website. Documentaries, you would think he would say. But there's a few times where there was some, and I know I slip up too, but this guy had a few grammatical things, but I'm like, did he mean to say that? The pair also touched on the circumstances surrounding Epstein's death in a jail cell in 2019. Now, this guy went out and, as near as I could tell, asked a bunch of Ron Johnson staffers, like really caught him off guard. You know, they must have been doing pre-interviews or something. But I would suspect that Ron knew that this was the tone of the interview that he was taking part in. And not only did he take him on the strolling tour of the office, because he did that to us, but they went out in D.C. together. Down there, out strolling the streets
out on the town together. I'll jump in here, Crudy. Among the other questions the YouTuber asked the senator, do you believe there's anything fishy about the death of Jeffrey Epstein? Well, certainly it's fishy, Johnson responded. The cover-up of the list of individuals that visited Epstein Island is pretty fishy, he said, before claiming that, quote, it's mainly people on the left that Jeffrey Epstein was courting and that took advantage of his island pleasures. Wasn't Trump on one of those plane trips? I think we should have a full investigation of Jeffrey Epstein and his activities. And I like this one, Crudy. Ask who he thinks a remarkable character in the 24 presidential election. Johnson pointed to Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s Democratic campaign for president, noting he shares a lot of views with Kennedy on the coronavirus pandemic.
They believe in all the same conspiracy theories now.
Both men have publicly sowed doubt about the efficacy of the vaccine and pushed back on public health institutions for response to the pandemic, largely citing mischaracterized or incomplete data. I guess my follow-up question to what's the guy's name? G? Tommy G?
Tommy G.
Would he follow up and say, hey, do you think the coronavirus was engineered to spare the Jews? Because that's what Kennedy implied or said recently.
Well, he did basically say, Ron, did you find it ironic that, you know, the Wuhan leak story was suppressed on the social medias And now it's pretty much accepted, according to Tommy G, that that's the most viable, likely outcome of why we have a coronavirus pandemic. I'm like, eh, is that a proven thing? Or did you learn that on YouTube?
Does it even matter? Does it even matter? To Ron Johnson, it doesn't.
A spokeswoman for Johnson confirmed that Johnson's quotes in the video were accurate, but condensed for time. Now, you know how the young Jacob, when he occasionally, you'll see some devil's advocates videos on the TikTok. We didn't edit those. That's the young guy. That's Jacob.
Right.
Jacob does the editing. And the kids today, they do these little mini jump edits where they take all your breaths out. You know, sometimes Dom tends to linger on a breath or something.
Well, so I've done a fair share of editing in my time, man. Yeah, you only got so much time and you don't need to spend it breathing.
But you do wonder if there were any words that were left out or sentences or whatever. Because it's one thing to do it and just take out all the little mini gaps, but you don't know. Because literally, it could have been one sentence, and then he could be 10 sentences later, and you wouldn't know because he strings them right together. In regards to
Tommy G's editing, that's the danger of any media organization or Tommy G and everyone in between editing.
She referred to a longer podcast interview from the YouTuber and also contended that Johnson's comments on JFK were not new. He's always believed the conspiracy theories, Crudy would attest. During the interview, Johnson referenced the book JFK and the Unspeakable by James W. Douglas, which argues agencies were behind the assassination. And Johnson has referenced the book on multiple occasions in recent months. Kennedy Jr., that's Bobby's kid, you know, Robert Kennedy Jr., recommended it to him. Apparently they're buddies now, hanging out and so in doubt about COVID vaccines and reading books, conspiracy books. The book's argument has been a point of contention.
I'm going to jump down here, Crudy. Johnson in the video also claimed divisiveness was the biggest threat to America and lamented that there are people, quote, that are just fomenting hate, that are exacerbating a divide rather than trying to heal this nation. Yeah, and you're in the party, man. It's the mega party. I mean, do you say that without any irony or any self-reflection or any analysis of what the mega has turned the grand old party into, Ron Johnson? He reiterated his distrust of federal intelligence agencies during a time in which Republicans on Capitol Hill have accused agencies like the FBI of being weaponized against conservatives and indicated he believes his phones and computers have been tapped. I just kind of assume they are. Well, Ron, when you were trying to run away from that, from the a reporter in Washington, D.C., and the time you pretended to be on your phone, oh, I can't talk to you. I'm on the phone. Now I can see your phone is blank, Senator. The good news is they weren't tapping your phone then.
A little bit more. He referenced Jeffrey Epstein, right? The fact that Epstein, well, he was always sneaking off with some Democrat, and they showed him a video of Slick Willie, Bill Clinton, and Epstein in some video. One of our texters on the text line said, and don't forget, Jeffrey Epstein introduced Donald Trump to Melania Trump.
Oh, really?
He was out there bragging about it. And I found this at the Business Insider, so it's probably true. Jeffrey Epstein, the wealthy financier charged with sex trafficking, reportedly bragged he was the one that introduced Donald and Melania. Come back with us. Devil's Advocates, I'll introduce you to Don.
You're welcome.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK. Okay.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Democratic candidates are held to a higher moral standard. I don't see Representative McCarthy calling for George Santos to shamefully leave the halls of Congress. It is never principle above party. It is never principle and policy above person and personal achievement for Republicans.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Professor Schwaber, what grade would you give the Supreme Court for their interpretation of the law?
That doesn't really work. The grade ordinarily would be how accurately and thoughtfully and carefully have you interpreted, you know, existing precedents. I tell you what, though, if I were teaching a course in, let's say, logic, and I was asked to grade this work in terms of its coherence and its rigor, a high D.
Wow.
A high D.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry and Jane Mattinair.
Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Lows level off around 64 overnight under mainly cloudy skies with a chance for scattered thunderstorms. Southwest winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Chance for scattered thunderstorms tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 82. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Lows dip down to about 57 tomorrow night. Mainly clear skies. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Hite. Currently, it's 66 degrees.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News on 540 AM WAUK.
Back to the Devil Advocates Radio Show. Phone lines are open. We'll go there next at 844-967-2789.
Demma, got a couple on the text line. Here are a few. Ben Wickler ran originally for the chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin chair, saying he was going to fight for every vote in every nook and cranny of the state. Apparently, some believe he hasn't done so, Dom. Here's another one. This one coming from the 414 right here in Waukesha, where we're at. Moron. His no brain with which to think. Just barely functioning brainstem. I have theorized he might be a White Walker. What else? Jeffrey Epstein was the one who introduced Trump to his future wife, Melania. Well, I give you credit. That one coming from the Chi-Town down in the 773. And all right, boys, you got the broadcast gremlin sorted. You've been quite good for the first hour, but there's room for improvement. Be great in the second hour, says Jeff from Sherwood. I'm not sure if he's so chastising much or improving, you know, offering fair critique. 844-967-2789. Chris from Sun Prairie, welcome back. What do you got for us?
Hey, Chris.
Hey, guys. Lamar Waldron and Tom Hartman wrote a book called Ultimate Sacrifice, and it's the definitive answer to who killed JFK.
Who did Tom Hartman, and I like Tom. He's a smart guy and researches copiously. What was Tom's assertion? Who did he think did it?
There was a lot of government influence as far as the CIA and the FBI and the Pentagon and so on and so forth. The book is called Ultimate Sacrifice.
Hmm. Yeah, but I want the cliff notes, Chris. I mean, who was? I mean, a lot of government influence. I mean, you know, that's pretty general,
It was pretty much the entire government, all the agencies, the FBI, the CIA, the Pentagon, all.
So they were all working together in a conspiracy to assassinate the president.
Correct.
And what was
a coup? Because there was going to be a coup in Cuba, which would have created a world war.
Interesting theory. Hadn't heard that one, Chris. Maybe the Cuba stuff, but not the everybody did it theory. Was it JFK?
Is it possible? I mean, you know, we weren't there. So, you know, how do you know? No. Certainly appreciate the entertainment. You know, we talked about the Oliver Stone version of it. But if you're going to get into the conspiracy theories and you're going to have a conversation about those things, do you think that a U.S. senator should be engaging in those very conversations, or because we talk about it, man. I don't know. Were the government, was the government involved? Possibly. I mean, I have the same answer that Ron Johnson does. So but it's hard for me to, I wouldn't change my answer just because I was elected senator. I don't know.
Well, here's the point, though. The book he references, this book drafted or written by Douglas, a review of the book, and I believe this is a conservative's review, John McAdams, he was a Marquette University political science professor. I think he had a row of his own, if I recall, Dom. But McAdams described the book, the unspeakable book about the assassination of JFK, and here's the quote: utterly uncritical of any theory, any witness, any factoid, as long as it implies conspiracy. McAdams said Douglas, the author, fundamentally doesn't care about what really occurred. is the book.
Yes.
Review book being recommended.
Listen, just because someone writes a book doesn't mean it's worth reading. Doesn't mean it's factual. I mean, it's like when the printing press came out and all, because, you know, when it was very rare to have a book to read, you know.
Hey, back off, Gutenberg.
I'm just saying, just because it's, you know, printed doesn't mean it's right or factual or true. I mean, come on, everyone, what are people writing books for? To make money. To make money. And why do politicians write books? To launder the money, because they can have their campaigns buy their crappy books. And then they can say, hey, look how many books were sold on the New York Times bestseller list. I mean, the whole thing is any book you read, you should take it with just as much a grain of salt as anything you read on the internet.
Well, fortunately, I try not to read it all.
Great.
Unless it's show prep, unless it's directly going to come out of my lips on the show. But, you know, reading for pleasure, that's a thing in my past.
I was forced to read as a young child during the summers.
No one had to force me as a young child.
Oh, yeah. I had to do book reports in the summer. During my summers, in between school, my parents still made me read even more.
Buddy, I had a job at the public library. And the summer before, I think it was my sophomore year in high school, I read like 75 books. And I don't mean those little flip books. I'm talking about, you know.
Are you mostly there, God? It's me, Crudy.
A lot of Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, the Sherlock Holmes, a lot of Agatha Christie. You know, I have a beautiful mind, much like Sherlock Holmes.
Sure.
I read a lot of books that summer. Yes. But here's the difference.
What, you OD'd on it?
As an adult, I like the Grisham novels, but I do no pleasure reading. Like, as an adult, Grisham, one novel a year. That's it. Nothing I read is for pleasure. It's all for the sake of this show.
Well, you have fun doing the show, right? So it's all for pleasure. And we do it for your pleasure. 844-967-2789. Let's squeeze some calls in for the top of the hour. Rocky from Appletown. What's up, Rocky?
Hey, Rocky.
Hey, hi. Long time. I read that Hartman book. He didn't say any of that crap. Hartman book, basically, he went and interviewed the mafia. The mafia hit. He went and interviewed them. Their dad, Kennedy's dad, made a deal with the mafia to leave him alone. Right. And Bobby broke it and went after the mafia. Everybody saw that in the press. The mafia tried to hit the Kennedys a couple times. They missed them, I think, in Florida. And I think Texas was successful. I believe, almost over the book, there's a third one. As far as the government agencies, there's a big cover-up because there's lots of shenanigans going on that didn't want out. But the mafia killed him. And they interviewed the guy who ordered the hit a few months before he died. It's actually a really good interview if you read the book.
So then was Lee Harvey Oswald the guy to pull the trigger, or was he a patsy then, as he claimed?
No, he's a patsy. He didn't pull the trigger. I think the mafia guy said there were three people that were there for the hit.
A triangulated?
I mean, if you watch it, the way, something like that, I don't quite remember, at least two, because if you watch the way the body went, there's at least two entry points, just by the direction of the body.
Yeah.
And some people say there are three. And even in the Harvard book, they don't go into that because they said it's really hard to know how many hit. They know it's two for sure. Oswald is just a patsy, just like he said. You know, if you look at where he was to make that shot, I mean, come on. The book's actually really good. It's written, Tom Hartman kind of edited, is a friend of his, I can't remember his name, he did most of the groundwork, but they interviewed everybody. And it's well-sourced if you want to go look it out. It's a great book, but it was a mafia hit.
We should pass that one along to Roadshow. Right. Read all the books, Rod.
All the books. Every one of them. Try them all.
Come back with us. Just not for pleasure, Ron. Like, sex for you. missionary. Yes. Never for pleasure.
For God.
Come back. More Devil's Advocates. We're doing God's work around here.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crute. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK.
Listen to this mission. Highlight ag research from the university, showcase education, and show off new technology. Written almost 70 years ago, it's still what you'll find at Wisconsin Farm Technology Days. This year's show includes hot tech like drones, food grown across the state, and how it all impacts our economy. Sauk County is your Farm Technology Days host at the Badger Steam and Gas Engine Club in Baraboo, July 18th through 20th. Details at wifarmtechdays.org. I'm Terry.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Hey, Dan Kelly, you went around the state saying there had been fraud and the election should be overturned. You did that. You took $120,000 in pay from the